Welcome to everyone in the house. This is a day God has made. And I choose to rejoice and to be glad in it. Will you stand with me tonight? Tonight's going to be a word of prophetic teaching and insight. We are coming up on Good Friday, the day of Christ's crucifixion. And this, to me, this whole season, every season, God rules over it. But this season is such a reminder of a word of freedom and liberty and salvation. But the whole point and the whole reason for all of that, this season is such a tremendous reminder to me, and it's actually one of my most favorite seasons of the year, because it's such an awakening, a call to who we are, and it helps us remember who Christ is. I mean, really who he is, not the religious Christ, not the I gotta believe so I don't go to, you know, the bad place, but the real Christ that not only freed us but gives us such power and such life and such joy and is a revealer of such incredible things. Every day you should have an amazing experience with God. And that's why we always say, we're committed to say, something great is going to happen today. So I want you to lift up your hands, just like, Lord, I praise you. You ever wave at someone, try to get their attention? Lord, I praise you. And just do that. Lord, I'm here to make heaven restless tonight. Father, we thank you for the intensity, the power, and the preciseness, the life, the accuracy of your word. God, we thank you for every truth, every scripture. Your word is alive. And it makes us alive. And Father, we thank you for the life of your word. We thank you for the authority of your word. It's all the power over every principality, every power, every mindset, every authority that wages itself or even wedges itself against who you are and what you reveal, Lord. And you break through by your word with ease, just as you parted the waters with ease by a breath from your nostrils, God. We thank you for that authority, that great power that not only resides, but it presides. It rules within us. And Father, for it, we give you praise tonight. I pray that every ear that's listening tonight in this house and those that are viewing all around the world today, I pray that your ears would hear as the Spirit of the living God, as the Spirit of the Lord would quicken you, hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. And Father, we're committed tonight that you are Lord of all, in all, and through all, and you created all things for your purpose, and for your pleasure they were and they are created. And Father, we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, and we can go down and we can start singing, or you can take your seats. So if you take your seats this evening, you know, we've heard and we've read, anyone that is familiar with the word, and if you're not, if you're watching tonight and you're not familiar with the word, you just tuned in then I want to say this: the word of God is so precise, it is so detailed, that only by trust and confidence, only by faith, and the way, where all that stuff comes from, confidence, trust, faith, it all comes from a surrendered heart to who Christ is. And who is Christ? Well, he's the Lord my shepherd. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the mighty God. He's the Lord. He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. You take any one of those words, any one of those revelations about Christ, and it will change your life. We have them all, but one, Lord, Lord over me. Because he's Lord, but he's not just Lord, he's good. I mean, God is so good. My wife and I, just out of the blue, we will say this, and Donna says it all the time. She'll say, God is so good. And I feel like one of the angels. I just join in and say, hallelujah, yes, he's so good. And then I'll open like one eye and go, anything in particular in mind? She says, everything. God's just so good. And I'll close my eye and say, God is so good. But there's a scripture, a couple of scriptures I want to speak to you about tonight. And in preparation for Good Friday, referred to as Good Friday, the day of Christ's crucifixion, and Sunday, the day of his resurrection. And I want to encourage you all to come with your hearts prepared, not only this evening, but this coming Sunday. We're going to have, I anticipate, a very spiritually explosive, dynamic time in God, and I believe a moment in time that's going to change the season from that time forward, if we know how to look at it. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, from that moment forward, life changed. Life changed from that moment forward. Everything in the earth and everything in heaven changed. From that one moment, not only because of what he did, but because of the revelation, meaning God was exposed in that way. God was revealed as Redeemer and Savior and Lord. And because of that moment in time, everything across the board, everything in earth and in heaven changed dramatically. I mean, the Word says that when Jesus ascended, he ascended above. It didn't mean he was up, you know, sitting on a little higher throne than he was sitting on before. It means he was exalted as Lord. He was seen in the fullness of God was seen in Christ. I'm not saying everything was understood, because the Word says no eye has seen and no ear has heard, but it's revealed through the Holy Spirit. So you get excited about Christ when he's revealed through you by the Holy Spirit. You can listen to someone talk about him and know I need to believe God. I need to believe in Jesus. I need to believe he's Lord. But when you have the profound experience of Christ on the inside of you, everything changes again. Everything changes. The way you think changes, and that's an important thing. Proverbs 16, it says this, it says, if you will commit your works, which is not just what you do, you know, it's not just what you do. If you commit your thoughts, if you'll commit your attitude, if you'll commit your heart unto the Lord, this is pretty powerful. Your thoughts or your plans will be established. Amen. God bless and good night. If you really understand what that means, that really is the answer to, you know, when is this going to happen? When is that going to happen? Why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? When are things going to change? And the power is when I commit my thoughts or my actions, my heart, my attitude, when I commit them unto the Lord, the things I begin to think become established. I have become consciously aware and almost reverently fearful about what I think, because I find God, when I think about something, then he nudges my heart, and this is what he says, I'm going to show you how to bring that to pass. And I found that the things that I would have wanted, the things that would have driven me, what you would have felt would be great success, interest me little to none. But when you commit your thoughts to the Lord, Proverbs 16, when I commit my thoughts to the Lord, or my works to the Lord, my heart, my attitude, my plans, my thoughts become established. Now, Jesus said, he said, come to me when you're tired of working and laboring, and he said, I'm going to give you rest. We quote that all the time. The old King James says it like this. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And I, that's how I hear Jesus saying it. Come to me, all of you that are laboring and are burdened and are tired, and I will give you rest. In other words, your efforts and your laboring and your trying and your worrying isn't going to give you rest. And frankly, things aren't going to work out the way they should when you're worrying, because you're doubting. And when you're worrying and doubting, your heart is full of fear. And when you're full of fear, the Word says fear torments you. Anyone ever been tormented by fear? What if this doesn't work out? What if this goes sideways? What? And we as believers, and who is a believer? Whosoever should call on the name of the Lord and believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, will confess with his mouth and believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead. That believer. And when you believe that, you're not just believing that God is doing stuff on the outside, or you have to acknowledge him just to stay out of trouble. True relationship, true belief draws you to a point to where you know my thoughts are established. Remember Sunday, we taught this. The Lord has need of you. When God said, tell them, if they're asking you, what are you doing? Why are you taking my donkeys, my property? Jesus said, tell them the Lord has need, and they untied them. God's word is so powerfully orchestrated. Committing your thoughts to the Lord is a full, privileged, honored understanding. God has need of me. Not I'm a mistake. Not I don't care if your parents did or didn't want you. I mean, sometimes I wonder after my parents had me, did they want me? But no, they never demonstrated that, but I'm sure I was a handful of times. You probably were too. Don't laugh too hard, Chris. I know you definitely were. And you too, Anton. But the word says that when we commit our thoughts to the Lord, our thoughts, our works, commit our works, our hearts, our thoughts are established. And when we're afraid, then we can't believe who we are and who we really are. But God, Jesus said, tell them the Lord has need of them. And the Spirit of God quickened me, and I said, and he said in me. Just know the Lord has, you need to overcome a fear, a doubt, an uncertainty, to just be sharp on your game. Dead on the bullseye. Right where you need to be. Know, the Lord has need of me. It doesn't matter if your parents had an idea that you were a great idea, or you were a surprise, or they didn't, or if society has rejected you, or if church has rejected you, or if your family has rejected you, or they embraced you. On either side, it doesn't make the difference. It can make it pleasant or unpleasant. But what transforms whether it is or isn't is recognizing with a full heart of revelation, my thoughts, my works are committed to God. I can't fail. It's impossible for me to fail unless God can fail, because my thoughts are committed. What does that mean? The Lord has need of me. Untie me. Tonight I pray, God, untie you. God, untie you tonight by you just acknowledging one thing. God has need of me. Not he'd like to use me. Every single heartbeat has a rhythm of purpose. Every single heartbeat has a rhythm of purpose. Every single heartbeat has the rhythm of purpose, meaning God designed every creature. The Lord says, He said, I made all things, everyone, for my purpose and my pleasure. And that says something pretty amazing too. He said, even the wicked for the day of wicked. He didn't make them wicked. But he made, saying, everyone. So if you choose to be wicked, you're still going to be purposed, driven by me. You're still going to be used by me, Judas. Whatever it is, God's plan will come to pass. But what turns your world around is acknowledging it's not my talent, it's not my beauty, it's not my gift, it's not my stature. I have to wrestle with that a lot. Just because I'm tall doesn't mean that I'm going to be successful. But it's my commitment, don't laugh so hard, it's my commitment to God that my thoughts are established. I'm almost fearful of what I might want. And I inquire of the Lord as David did. David won tremendous battles, had great victory, but he would continually inquire, Lord, is this the step you have for me? Not God, I think this is a great step. I've said many times, people ask for God's will in their lives, but really, a lot of times they're asking for God's approval on their will. God's ways are perfect. His word is perfect. His thoughts are perfect. And the profoundness of my ways are committed unto the Lord. My thoughts, the Lord has need of me. You should say that tonight. You should say, the Lord has need of me. You should say it because you want to. The Lord has need of me. It drives everything else to the corners, and it puts you out front. And you say, as David did, what was in the heart of David? What was in a young man like that to walk up to a giant with no armor, no weapons, not proven in any style of that warfare, knowing the king of Israel is afraid of him and all the mighty men, the mighty soldiers, the warriors, the army of God are afraid of this guy and all of it. And this, what would make you or I walk up to this guy and defy him to his face? What would make you do that? What would make you do that? What would make someone do that? What would make you do that? Did I hear someone say something? Did you? Excuse me. Purpose. I am committed unto the Lord. I'm not committed because I want to be. I'm acknowledging that I am. Difference. Well, I don't want. It doesn't matter. You didn't create yourself. You didn't choose to be born. God chose you. He chose you. And the power of this is when David knew. He said, "The Lord." He said, "He's my God. I meditate on it. I can't get him out of my mind day and night." It's not an effort. It's what I'm created for. And no matter where David went, no matter what he did, it was like Joseph. I just acknowledged. I mean, I believe God rang Joseph's bell. He did. He got Joseph's attention. Maybe he adjusted his attitude a little bit. He walked him a ways. But Joseph had a heart for God. And sometimes it's that adjusting moment of attitude that brings you into prophetic purpose. Remember, prophecy will prove you. Prophecy is going to determine how quickly you move, or how quickly the hands of time move on your behalf. Prophecy, it's the driving factor. And what is prophecy? Prophecy, in reality, is the spirit that David had. I'm created of purpose. I am a creature of purpose. God's purpose. I mean, you're saved not because you got in trouble. You're not saved because you sinned. You're not saved because you were miserable one day. You're not saved because you came to the end of your rope. That's not why you're saved. You're saved because God purposed you to be saved. The Word says no one can come to Christ unless what? Come on. Unless the Holy Spirit draws him. That wasn't your idea. It wasn't my idea. I had a profound experience when I was a young, very young man, and got born again, and still didn't know at the moment what was going on that very moment, but it happened anyway because it wasn't my idea. But when God speaks to you, God spoke to David and put in David's heart, because why? David, he was the soil that was proven. He surrendered to the heart of God. He acknowledged that he was God's purpose. And not arrogantly, Joseph, why was he so profoundly powerful in what he did? I mean, his family didn't like him. His mom and dad got a little upset with him because he shared a dream. He shared a dream. Why? Prophetic spirit was driving him. The prophetic anointing was driving him. From the beginning of the ages, the prophetic anointing called out your name. Before the world was created, the Word says, God knew you. David says, he said, before I was born, you knew me. You knew all my members. You knew everything about me. How could that be? How could that be? How can God know everything about you? Well, because he's God. Yeah, but that's not enough. Of course he's God. The demons know he's God. They fear and tremble. No. Why? What is it? What is it? It is by the spirit of prophecy that you find your purpose. Oh, everyone have to know. I'm not talking about that churchy purpose. I'm talking about real purpose that you get. I'm talking about purpose that drives you. I'm talking about purpose that says, if God is for me, and he is. See, God is for me is what we should know. But revelation is, and he is. If God be for me, and he is. No one can be against me, and it can't, and it won't. Churchy, if God be for me, I mean, I'm trying, I'm doing the best I can. I mean, I hope I haven't displeased the Lord. What have I done wrong? That's not a prophetic spirit. What if it does? What if it doesn't? It's not just name it, claim it, frame it. We're not talking about that. We're talking about an identity. We're talking about Christ within me tells me that I'm driven by purpose. Say that, I'm driven by purpose. Not mine, his. And the wrestling you experience isn't because of the devil. It isn't because of bad people. It isn't because of anything except you. It's your fear. It's your doubt. It's your uncertainty. When you lock into the purpose, David was able to stand before Goliath because he knew I'm purpose driven. I mean, no one taught me how to do this. No one taught the woman that had the issue of blood how to do what she did, how to draw virtue from Christ. There was a commitment. Today, I am intended to live. She just surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it does take people coming to the end of the rope before they say, I'm going to surrender. But that's not why you get saved. You get saved because you finally surrender to the purpose. You finally give up. You finally give in. And you finally die to yourself. The greatest success you'll ever have is when you die. Selah. The greatest success you will ever have is when you die to yourself, when you die to your attitude. You can be the most gifted individual in the world and fall so short of your call and your purpose. It's not about gifting. It's not about talent. I have the honor and the opportunity to talk and pray with a lot of people with a lot of talent and a lot of gifting and a lot of problems. Because until you surrender, your gift will drive you into more torture, more pain, more fear, more uncertainty, more weight. Come to me, all you that labor. Come to me. I know when I'm off point. Why? When I'm laboring, when I'm sweating too hard, when doing right becomes too hard, I'm doing right wrong. Excuse me. The power of our purpose is a recognition that I can't get away from it. I can't get away from success. That's why we sing all the time, the favor of the Lord is after me. Not I'm trying to find it, not I'm trying to get it. He's after me. He's chasing me down. He's pursuing me. And all I have to do is stop and worship him. Well, whether you stop or not, he's going to pursue you. But when the favor, the power, the glory, the blessing of the Lord pursues you and you run from it, you run into difficulties. You run into a training period like Joseph did. You run into a time of the trying of your faith like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Only God knew what was necessary to bring them to the point that they needed to be brought to. When Lazarus died, Jesus didn't look at it as, oh my, man, this is horrible. He said, this is for the glory of God. When they brought the young guy to him and said, why is this guy dealing with this issue, this affliction? Who sinned, the mom or the dad? Jesus said, nobody. It wasn't about that. God wants to be glorified. Therefore, God created all things for his purpose and his pleasure. The power structure, the foundation of your life is I'm dying to any attitude, any idea that makes me lesser value than the Savior and Redeemer that saved and redeemed me, because it's no longer I that lives. It's not me that lives. You should never call yourself a name. You should never curse yourself. You should never call yourself dumb or stupid or unworthy. Because if you're born again, you're not talking about you. You're talking about the child of God. You're talking about the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the reason you go so many times through these trying times is you don't have a prophetic spirit. You're not prophesying your way into your purpose. Now, if you hear this message and you start condemning yourself, then you're not hearing me at all. The whole point is, as I'm walking away from anything that highlights my flesh, anything that declares my sin nature, anything that talks about that which is against God and exalting that, it's idolatry. We become worshipers of ourselves. Everyone worships. You're a worshiper, you're created to worship, and you're going to worship something or somebody, no matter what. You could be an agnostic, you could be the biggest heathen in the world, it doesn't matter. You're going to worship because that's what you're made to do. You're going to worship something. You're going to worship silver, gold, people. You're going to worship something. But when you worship God, when you allow the spirit of revelation to come in, how do I do that? Sometimes people have to come to the end of the rope and just say, I'm not worth anything. And God says, well, actually, you're worth everything. That's why I died for you. But the whole point is you don't know what your worth is in, who it's in. It's in me. And that's why Jesus said, come to me. We're coming into a point, a season, and a time where God is opening the doors. I'm telling you, this is, you're going to walk in it. Just as our world has changed, our economy has changed, the mentality has changed. Just in 2-3 years, the mentality of the nations has changed. There's a fear over some and a great cloud of fear over some and a great cloud of rain over others. Some are wondering, some are afraid, some are still afraid to leave their homes. Do you know that? There are people that have become bound to their homes. They get inside, out of one building, into another as quickly as they can, and they find that their safe haven. I'm not going to say I understand. I get the reason behind it, but it's flawed. My trust is in the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? I don't have to. I'm driven by the purpose of the Father's will. I'm proven by prophecy. I'm proven by the spoken word of God. David said, you know all my numbers. I'm not going to fear living or dying. I'm going to just think about the life of Christ within me. I meditate on you all the time. I'm not trying to think about you. You're in every idea. You're in every thought. All my plans, all my doings. It's just, I see you. I see success. I see love. I see purpose. I see wisdom. I see peace. I have power. I have joy. I feel like praising. I feel like singing. I feel like dancing. Now, I know some can say, but I don't feel that way. And that's what I'm talking about. You can feel that way. David felt that way. What made the man stand in front of a giant that everyone in around, proven people that were seasoned to fight, were afraid? And he walks up and says, it doesn't matter. I have a stone and a sling. You're going to fall. It was a prophetic word because he realized it's the purpose of God that is driving me, and you can't stand against me because you're not acknowledging me as God's purpose. You're acknowledging you as the authority and the power, so I know already you're going to fall. There's no way you can stand. I don't know that he couldn't spit in his eye and he would have fallen. He had the power of God abiding in him. He could not withstand the blessing, the purpose, and the favor of God, and that's who David was. And that's who you are if you know that you are. The word says God is no respecter of person. So if that power rested on David, then that power can rest on you. That's why you hear me say all the time, as God was with Moses, so the Lord is with you. As God was with Caleb, so the Lord is with you. As God was with Abraham, so the Lord is with you. I am made, created before I came out of my mother's womb, before I was a seed in the mother's womb, before I was a thought in man's mind or woman's mind. I was the thought of God's mind. Prophecy is a point of revelation. You are a point of revelation. You can't lose. You can go through a miserable time doubting your success, doubting the blessing and the favor of the Lord, but it's going to remain there because God can't change his mind. He is faithful. He doesn't make us work to get there. He calls us to believe we are there. He doesn't make us sweat. And sometimes it's that effort that we put forth. And it's not that you don't put all your might into what you do, whatever your hand finds to do. Do it. Do it with all your might. But commit your thoughts unto the Lord. Commit your works unto the Lord. You'd be amazed at how much different you're going to think, how much different you're going to feel, how much different you're going to respond when you prophesy. Every day you wake up prophesying. This is a day God has made. It didn't just happen. It's made. You realize if God didn't make today, it wouldn't be here. It wouldn't happen automatically. That's why the word says, this is the day God has made. He is the prophecy of every single day. Every day God prophesies. He makes it. He creates it. This is the day that God has made. Every day when you wake up, you should realize what a miracle today is. One of my first prayers out of the gate is, Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for life in this day. Thank you for peace in this day. Thank you for your greatness and your goodness. Thank you. You made it. You made this day. It's already a miracle. Something incredible has already happened. This day is here. This is the day God has made. But the difference is that driving prophetic spirit. What is that? It's experiencing the heartbeat of God. Jesus said, I'm all time. I'm all time. I'm the first, the last, the beginning, the end, the middle. There is no time outside of me. He also said, I am the life, and there is no life outside of me. The word referred to it like this. It says, before Christ, men were walking around. They were dead men walking around, like walking in tombs and sepulchres. They were dead, dead in their mind, dead in their... Why? Because they didn't acknowledge a purpose. I am needed of God. Say that. I am needed of God. I am needed of God. I am needed of God. It's not about you messing up. It's not about you even doing right. It's about you believing in the purpose. Because when the spirit of prophecy, what is that? God telling the story. God bringing it to pass. God revealing, this is my mind. This is my thought. This is my intention. And I'm sharing it with you. Remember, for God so loved you that he gave. He didn't give because you're in trouble. He didn't give because you're a sinner. He did it because he loved you. And what did he do? He revealed purpose. God revealed the purpose of your life. Jesus is the beginning, the end. He's all time. He's every moment, every second. And your life, every moment of joy, every moment of peace, every moment of excitement, every moment of wisdom, every moment of happiness, every dance, every song, everything, every moment that brings out the joy of the Lord is already recorded in you through Christ. Jesus is your tomorrow, right? That's pretty simple. But He really is your tomorrow, and He can show you tomorrow today because it's already in Him. In my mother's womb, you knew me. You knit me together. You knew all my members. You knew everything I do. You knew all about me because Jesus is all time. Prophecy is like taking a moment of your life out of God, God revealing it to you, and then you believe unto it. Amos 7:3 says, I'll read it to you. Amos 3:7, it says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but He reveals, or until He reveals His secrets unto His servants, the prophets. Surely He does nothing. The sovereign Lord. It says, a trumpet blows, and does not a city become afraid? And it says, but the sovereign Lord, the Almighty God, unless He reveals it, that moment won't take place. Prophecy is that moment of God of which you are a part revealed to you. It's a miracle. When you receive a prophetic word, it's a miracle. And you can't get too much prophetic word. Your life should be prophecy. Jesus said there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean it's just going to pour down from heaven. What He was talking about is He said people are going to start prophesying. And not just trying to find somebody to point your finger at and prophesy, but you're going to begin to see your life in Christ. Some of you are driven. Some of you just say, I just like to be the greatest worshiper that's ever been. I'd like to be the greatest giver there's ever been. I'd like to be the greatest prophet there's ever been. There's a driving force. It's not in competition with someone. It's seeing the glory of God in your life. It's you see a moment of your life in God, already planned out. And you can either walk in it or you can doubt it and walk in yourself. And the Word says it's like dead. You wrestle, you struggle. Serving Christ isn't an effort. It isn't difficult. It isn't a challenge. It's a surrender. It's a joy. That's why He's called the Prince of Peace. That's why I said when you get tired of trying to do it your way, He said, come to me, surrender to me, declare I am the purpose of the living God. I mean, I am the purpose of God. If not, this is what I'm going to say, good luck, because that's all you have to go on. A roll of the dice. Sometime may work out. Next time, it's probably not going to work out 2-3 times to the one time it does. It's a game of chance. Our lives are driven by purpose. Prophecy is that one moment when God reveals a moment of your life in Him, and He shows it to you. And He does it so you believe into it. And that's what He said. He said, I'm not going to do anything. God wills to do new things. God wills to bring them to pass. This moment of time that we're walking into, we celebrate the Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This moment is really about the awakening of prophecy, the awakening of Jesus was prophesied from the beginning. That moment where death had no hold on heaven or earth. Death lost all authority. Death lost all power. And we became a prophetic spirit. That's why He said, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and you're going to do what I've done. You're not going to speak of yourself. You're not going to speak as a man. You're going to speak like God. You're going to speak like God. You're going to speak like God. If we minimize it and think we're just going to do better, that's not God. God isn't halfway. He isn't a little better. He isn't a lot better. He's all great. He's all good. He's all the fullness of all things at all times. He is the first, the last, the beginning, the end. There isn't a time, there isn't a moment in your life that God has not covered. Do you hear me? There isn't a moment in your life that God has not covered. We look at challenges and never stop to think why maybe a challenge came. We think that something went wrong or God forgot us. God can't forget you. You're His own memory. You're the thoughts of God. You're the mind of God. That's why He said, seek the mind of God, and the more you know Him, the better you'll know who you are. The more he's revealed, the more you understand your identity and your purpose. Here's a word for you tonight. This generation, this body of people, those that believe into this word, there's absolutely no way in the world you're going to fail in your purpose. You can't miss God because he's bigger than your miss. He's bigger than your misstep. He's bigger than your mistake. He's God Almighty. He purposed you before you could think about disobeying him. Prophecy is tapping in, looking at, dialing into that moment of time and saying, this, untie me. I am untied. I'm loosed. I'm set free. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Why? The Lord has need of me. Nothing to do with how good I was or how bad I was. That all changes when you realize and you declare with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Lord has need of me. I'm a prophetic driving spirit. I'm a foreteller of the things of God. I'm a foreteller of the blessedness of the Lord. I'm a foreteller of the fruitfulness of the Spirit of God. I am the prophecy. I am the seed of God. I am the mind of God. I am the intention of God. The Lord fills me. He speaks through me. I can't help myself. That was the heart of David. That's why he could do what he did. He was overcome by his awareness that God is God Almighty, ever-present, all-powerful. Where can I go from the presence of the Lord? Where could I possibly flee from his Spirit? If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the sea, there you will find me. Under the most part of the earth, your hand will find me. There you will find me. If I make my bed in hell, there you will find me. Where could I possibly go from the presence of the Lord? You will lead me, you will guide me. Your hand is stern and firm on me. You direct me in the ways of wisdom and truth and righteousness. And David would say, correct me, O Lord. Create in me a clean heart. O God, renew in me a righteous, right spirit. That's the attitude of a believer in Jesus Christ. That's the attitude of someone that is believing into Christ and not just believing at Christ. Greater is this power that's on the inside of you than that which is in the world. No weapon that's formed, it just doesn't matter. That's why we don't talk about the devil and demons. I don't care. I don't care what devils and demons and evil people want to do. It has never mattered since the beginning of time in the eyes of God, and it will never matter from now to the day of the end, because he is the purpose. He is Lord over all lords. He's God over every power, every principality. He is the God of peace. He is the Lord of joy. He is my comfort. He is my confidant. He is my strength. He is my joy. He's the word of my mouth. I'm going to do wondrous things in the eyes of the Lord. I'm going to do glorious and great things by the hand of the living God. This year, 2022, is going to be the most magnificent, incredible, glorious year I have ever known, because I have a revelation. The Lord has need of me. He created me only to succeed. That's the only purpose I have. I can't fail. I'm not created to fail. I may believe I did, but I can't. I may believe that I'm a mess up, but I'm God's idea. I may believe that I just don't have what it takes, but I have more than it takes to do anything I could imagine, so much so that God prophetically is going to tell me how much greater he wants to do through me. Jesus said it like this. He said, you know how to please the Father? He said, bear much fruit. What fruit? The fruit you can't bear on your own. He said, except you abide in me, you can't do anything. Do you hear how God is saying and directing and guiding your thoughts and saying, you can't get away from me. You can't be driven away from purpose. You can't falter. You can't fail. Don't be afraid. You've nothing to fear in this world. You don't need to fear COVID. Whatever viral of COVID, whatever stage of COVID, you don't have to fear the economy. After Jesus rode into the city and they shouted out, Hosanna, we refer to it as Palm Sunday, he went into the temple, and you know what he did after that moment of being glorified? He went and messed up their economy. He did it on his own. He went over and he destroyed the economy. He messed up that business day. But what he really did was he boosted the economy. Because he said, what you're doing is thievery in the house of the Lord. You're misusing the house of God. It is written, my house is a house of praise, a house of prayer, a house of worship. But you've affected your economy negatively. You've turned over your own tables. You've destroyed your own economy. You've had to cheat in order to make it. And I'm going to turn your tables over as God has done in our economy today, says the word of the Lord. And I'm going to bring a right by worship and praise in the temples of the living God, in the houses of the Lord, in the people whom the Lord has chosen himself for his purpose and for his favor and for his pleasure. And on those people, God will keep them, even as he kept them. In the day when the death angel passed by, the Lord will keep his people as a sign and a witness and a testimony. As he kept the children of Israel as they walked through the Red Sea, he will keep you. As he kept the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he'll keep you. As he kept Daniel, he'll keep you. As he kept David, he'll keep you. As he kept Abraham, he'll keep you. He will keep you. The Lord will keep you. This is the greatest season of our lives. It's the most opportune time we have had in a long time. Not that we couldn't have apprehended it, but God has made it so vividly clear. This is an exceptional season. This is a time prophesied. Prophecy is you, a second being exposed, a second of God being exposed in who you are. Prophecy is, this is the word of the Lord. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, whatever you can believe, if you will believe in your heart, if you will believe, the Lord will bring it to pass. What things soever you say, if you believe you'll have it, you'll have whatsoever you say. Doesn't mean just throw out a word. He says, if you know that your word is true, if you know your word is consistent, if you know your heart is consistent, if you know your attitude is consistent in God, because you know it's not me that lives, I know it's you that lives in me, I am driven by purpose. The Lord has need of me. If you know that, you're not going to say things you don't believe. You're going to keep your word. You're going to follow through on the things that you say. I should do that. Then go do it or don't say it. When you say, I should do that, and you don't do it, you create doubt in your heart for when you ask God and say, this should come to pass. Yeah, but you didn't believe those things you said would come to pass because you didn't do them. And you created doubt in your own heart. The devil didn't have anything to do with it. Your rough childhood didn't have anything to do with it. Your boss or your friends or your family casting you away had nothing to do with it. You wouldn't keep your word. If a man or a woman believes those things which they say will come to pass, how do I do that? I'm a man of my word, and I'm begin by standing right here saying, God has need of me. I don't belong to myself. I am bought with a price. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am chosen in God. I am the fortress of God. I am comforted. I am kept. I am blessed. I can't help but be successful in all that I put my hand to. It will take place exactly as God has purposed it, and with it will follow the joy and the peace and the power of the Lord. I believe those things which I say will come to pass because I'm not reliant upon what I can do, but who he says I am and what he's already done in me. I am the thoughts of God. I am the memory of God. He can't forget about you. You're his memory. He can't ignore you. He can't leave you any more than he can leave his own memory. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lord, I'm with you all the time, at all moments, at all points. No matter where you go or what you do, I'm with you. But will you acknowledge that he is the Lord of glory? Will you acknowledge the Lord has need of me? Will you prophesy? God is turning our economy into something glorious. God is taking the wealth of the wicked and giving it into the hands of the righteous. When he turned over the tables that day, he took away the wealth from the wicked by turning over their tables, messing up their business, chasing them out, literally giving them a spanking out of the temple. But to everyone that would hear what he had to say that day, they would have prospered, and they did prosper in the Lord. This is a house of prayer. This is a house of worship. This is a house of praise. If I honor the Lord, he will honor me. God is turning this economy into something we have never known in our generation, nor generations past. This is a glorious time where God creatively and revelatory is bringing in an economy that will be stronger than anything you have ever known. Those that trust in the Lord will not doubt and will not fear. The prophetic word will be, I've been young and I've been old. I yet to see the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. The hand of the Lord rests mightily upon me, and all the cattle in 1,000 hills, all the gold, all the silver, meaning all the economy belongs to God, not man, not government, not wicked people. It belongs to the Lord. And if we understand our point and purpose, and it begins with, God has need of me. I am chosen of the Lord. I am not my own. I belong to Him. Greater is He that abides in me than anything that takes place in the world. If God is for me, nothing can be against me. The Lord my God, He is my shepherd. I shall not want. If you believe that tonight, I want you to lift your voice and say yes and amen. Would you stand with me to your feet today? And I don't know how else you would stand, but stand with me, raise your hands and say, Great God of heaven, I praise you for today. You made it and you've given me life within it. I thank you that you have need of me. Not that you could use me, but you have need of me. And I surrender to that need of purpose. As David surrendered, I declare, I'm surrendered to you, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Be glorified in and through me. And Father, I give you praise for the intensity of this wonderful season of time. Things are not trying me. Things are proving that you're God with me. There isn't anything pushing me away, pushing me down. I bear no weight. You bore the weight. I bear the blessing and the favor of the Lord. And Father, I give you praise for this moment in time that you have created and created me in it. And I thank you and I declare something great is going to happen today in Jesus' name. You believe that? Lift your voice and shout, yeah. Over everyone that's in the house, prophetic, I have a prophetic word for you. The year 2022 will be a year of excellence, not ordinary. Don't look for ordinary. You look for the ordinary, you're going to miss it. The extraordinary. Don't look for things to come together the way you've been planning or trying to put them together. God will exceed you. God will disrupt your economy to show you His. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, increases, and doesn't add the sorrow that man's economy does. That's what God is introducing in this season. The Lord will prove. He will bring to pass every word of prophecy, every word that He has spoken. He is Lord of fulfilling prophecy. He is Lord, not a Lord. He is Lord of fulfilling prophecy. He is Lord of all glory. He makes everything glorious to the glory of God. This is your season. This is an open door. You won't fail in anything. Nothing will revert backwards. Everything will proceed forward. God will move you. As Paul said, I don't have to worry about what's behind. I set my mind on the future that is before. I'm looking, I'm pressing by the faith of God towards the high calling of God, the excellence of God, not the ordinary, but the extraordinary. And this is that season. I release that word to everyone in this house. Those that are viewing and believing tonight, I release a prophetic word to you. And you say, how can you do this? By the anointing Spirit of God, by the living Word of God that bears witness that I speak on behalf of the Word of the Lord. I acknowledge and confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God, risen Savior, born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit, raised on the third day by the glory of the Father, ascended into the heavens. He is Lord over all lords. He is the King of all kings. He is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God. Hear the word of the Lord. Receive the word of God. Hear the voice of God. Everyone that has an ear to hear, increase by the word of the Lord spoken tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted, yes and amen. Father, we thank you for the kingdom of God. We thank you for the heavens of our God and of your Christ. Father, we thank you for the fullness of your word. We thank you for favor. And Jesus, we pray according to your word, your kingdom, be manifest in the year 2022 through every month, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, into the new year. God, we give praise for the privilege and the honor of what you're doing from this year. This is the foundation of a brand new generation, a brand new beginning, not just a mindset, but a renewed mind in the spirit. God, we thank you for a new economy in which you are glorified in, where your people walk in the blessing and the prosperity of the Lord. Father, even when you sent them into the places that they were slaves, you said, have children and bear fruit. I will increase you. I will bless you there. I will make you witnesses and testimony. I'll set you in the middle of those that would make slaves of you, and I'll raise you up to be prosperous. I will increase you. I will bless you. Fear not. And the word of the Lord is the same today. God is with you in this world. He is with you in this economy. He is with you in this moment of time. The Lord's blessing and favor rests upon those that call upon his name and believe into him. He is the Lord of favor, the Lord of joy, the Lord of peace, the Lord of honor. And we pull upon the heavens of God, and we pray that there will be a great outpouring of righteousness, a great awakening unto the righteousness of God. People all over every platform in the world, whether it be secular, whether it be in the religious world, will declare the truth of God. They will testify that they have been changed. They have been transformed. Even those that say and have declared the name of the Lord will confess their sins and declare, I spoke the word, but I did not speak the life and the living word. I have been transformed. You hear people repent and declare the kingdom of God is at hand. You'll hear those that have denied and renounced God declare, he is the Lord of glory. He has changed me. I am not my own. I belong to him, and this is the life I was created to live. There will be a word. There will be a testimony of repentance and salvation that will captivate the nations of the earth, for the Lord is glorious in the earth. The earth belongs to him, the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. And Father, for it tonight, we give you praise, we glorify, we worship, and we thank you that you are Lord over all, in all, and through all. And we declare, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God is speaking. Make yourself manifest, make yourself known. Bear witness, Father, of your people in every area of their life. Bear witness in health, in strength, in joy, in peace, in prosperity, in love, in unity, in families, in businesses, in churches. God, be glorified in Jesus' name. God, we give you praise. We release from the earth those things that are stored in the heavens, the will and the purpose of God. We prophetically call them into the earth right now, that they are manifest on every platform. People amazed and brought to awe and worship in awe because you have done exceedingly abundant and beyond all we even knew to ask or think, but you revealed it by the spirit of prophecy and you brought it to pass. And Father, for it, we give you praise in Jesus' glorious and mighty name. And one more time, everyone shouted, yes and amen. The altar is open for your worship tonight. Come before the Lord, the word says. Bring an offering. Worship the Lord. Honor the Lord. Worship him in the spirit of praise. You can take your seats. You know, one moment in time, one moment of revelation is worth all the effort you could ever put into anything you try to succeed or be successful in. One moment of an eye-opening experience that says, I have one purpose in life. Purpose. I have one goal in life. Purpose. And it's always going to exceed anything that I could need. So when something looks like it's falling short, I know it's because my purpose is saying, I'm way beyond that. I'm way beyond that. And I glorify God for it and say, I'm way beyond that. Joseph was way beyond getting out of the pit. He was way beyond getting out of the prison. God literally set him up to rule as king and to be a man that God used to be to save a nation to the glory of God and bring about the word of prophecy, which literally feeds into this day. We are literally the seeds of prophecy from the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph to present day. And this is the greatest season of your life. You should be very excited. It gets so incredible from this time forward. Believe in the Lord and believe his prophets. You'll be established and you will increase to the glory of God. Father, we give you praise tonight. We thank you for every seed sown. And Father, we just thank you for the rain. We call for the rain because it's there to call on. And we declare that it will rain on the seeds of your people, God. Everything that's sown to your glory, God, be glorified, be praised, be pleased in it. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, and we declare you are Lord to the glory of God, and we thank you. You have need of us in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen. Be kind to one another, love one another, and go out with a prophetic shout.